What direction will you be taking in 2012? We started the year today, new year, brand new year, 2012. What direction are you going to be taking in this year? Where will you be heading in 2012? I'm not just talking about New Year's resolutions. You know, they're sorts of things that sometimes we make, sometimes we keep them, sometimes we don't. Probably more often than not, we don't keep them. You know, you can always have New Year's resolutions. I read one yesterday. It said, this year I will not sit in my living room all day watching TV. Instead, I will move my TV into the bedroom. So we can make lots of New Year's resolutions. Some of them are worthy, you know, some of them count, some of them don't. But I want to ask you, what is your focus for the year? What are your priorities as you work your way through this year? Because usually at the start of the new year, we think about the things that are going to happen in that year and we start to make plans. We start to set directions for our lives. There might be some major events that you can think of that are going to be happening this year. Maybe there's a wedding or a move or a new job or something like that that's going to be happening this year. And already you're starting to think about that and to plan for it. So while all these things happen, what are going to be your priorities in amongst that? There might be things that you want to achieve or things that you want to help someone else achieve. What are your priorities in all of this? Maybe you haven't thought about any of this. Maybe you're just drifting along and one day is the same as the next day and you don't really care about what's happening in the future. You're just drifting along as usual. Well, Mark's gospel comes to us today. It's a good time to start Mark's gospel because he starts in a very abrupt and urgent way with a new message and about something new that's happening. We're going to be looking at Mark's gospel over the next few months, working our way right up to Easter. And it's going to be interesting looking, especially in the second half of Mark. But you notice in the first chapter of Mark, as you open it up today, that he doesn't begin like Matthew and Luke begin. How do Matthew and Luke begin their Gospels? With the birth of the Lord Jesus, don't they? They record, you know, angels visiting Mary and Joseph and shepherds out in fields and all that sort of stuff. But Mark dives straight in to Jesus' ministry. He starts talking about the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right from the start, we see Mark's focus is much more abrupt, much more in your face, a little bit more urgent. And he talks about John and what John's work is. But well, there's one word in particular today that I want to focus on. And if you look on the top of your white sheets, it's a Greek word. And it's the Greek word. I don't know how you pronounce it. I asked Richard later exactly how you pronounce it. But I would say it's euthus. Is that right? Euthus, that'll do. Okay. And so it's a Greek word, and it's got the idea of something happening immediately or something happening straight away, something important, something that you don't want to have anything interrupting. And so Howard's kids talk from before was good because it brought that to our attention. So it's about something being immediate. We can think of things being immediate in terms of time, can't we? Something happens immediately, that means it's happening now. But also locations. If you might say the person living next door to you is your immediate next door neighbour. They're close to you. There's nothing between you, or only a fence maybe. But also there's a sense that this word means something to do with straight. Maybe straight away, or it could be translated as straight in that we're going in the right direction, the direction that leads to God's salvation, the straight path that leads to God's salvation. It's an interesting word, and unfortunately, when they did the NIV Bible, they decided to translate this one word into lots of different ways, but we're going to set it straight today. We're going to look at it, and we're going to look at all the different times this word is used, and we're going to... You don't have to. You can write it in if you want in pencil in your Bibles, and make these little changes. The first time it's used is in verse 3, which is a very interesting reference. If you look in verse 3, this is what was written in Isaiah the prophet about John the Baptist. He says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And this word that later on is translated immediate. Make straight paths for him. In other words, get everything out of the way so that there's nothing blocking him from doing what he has to do. Howard's Kids Talk was a very good example of that. Make straight paths. Clear all the obstacles out of the way. No distractions, no diversions. Don't put any obstacles in Jesus' path. Let him get on with the mission, this urgent, immediate mission that he has to do. We might call it the red carpet treatment. You know, when famous people go places, they roll out the red carpet, they clear everyone off the red carpet, and only those important people are allowed to walk down the red carpet treatment. And so that's what John is to do, is to roll out the red carpet for Jesus, let him go where he's going and get on with the work that he's got to do. In 2001, I was in the Baradine Fire Brigade. We went to the Christmas fires down in Singleton and then down in Nowra. And the day we had to travel from Singleton to Nowra, they told us you're going to be travelling in a convoy of 20 fire trucks from Singleton to Nowra. Now, on the freeway down towards Sydney, it was fine. You can travel in a convoy of 20 trucks. But we kept thinking, what's going to happen when we hit Sydney? How are we going to stick together? You know, it's a long line of trucks to try and keep together in all that traffic. But when we got to the edge of Sydney, we found out that the RFS, amazingly, had done some foreplanning and had put some thought into this. And they gave us a police escort, the VIP motorcycle escort that takes all the VIPs where they've got to go. And they came and escorted us through Sydney. There was six motorcycles. There was one right in front of the convoy, one at the end of the convoy, and these four other guys who just did the most amazing job I've ever seen. They'd zoom up ahead of us and they'd go up to the intersection and stop the traffic. And as soon as the convoy got to that intersection, they'd zoom up to the next one and they'd leapfrog each other all the way. We drove through Sydney at 80 kilometres an hour without having to stop, all the way through Sydney from top to bottom, not using any of the freeways or anything. It was a really great job. And they're doing what John the Baptist was told to do for Jesus here. They cleared the way for us to get through. There was no obstacles. There was nothing stopping us from getting where we needed to go and from doing what we had to do. They cleared the way for us. They made straight paths. And John does that. You see in verse 4 what he's been doing for people. In verse 4 it says, John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's preparing people's hearts. He's saying, you've got to turn away from your sin. You've got to turn back to God. You've got to be forgiven so that you're ready for Jesus, so that you're ready to accept him and receive him into your heart. Get yourselves ready for the arrival of this powerful Lord. So John's role is to prepare them for the immediate arrival of the Lord Jesus. But he doesn't really tell us a lot about Jesus. It gives us a few vague clues. If you look in down in verse 7, he talks about someone who's so powerful he can't undo his bootlaces, or John can't undo Jesus' bootlaces. And so he gives some vague clues about who Jesus is. I'll baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. But who exactly is this one that is to come? And that's where we find the next use of our word, our special word for the day, the word that Mark uses, to grab our attention in verse 10. And if you look in verse 10, we'll read it through. It says, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Now, there should be the word in there, immediately. It should say, immediately as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Look at what happens in verse 11. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. You see what happens right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry is God immediately confirms Jesus' identity. He doesn't leave anyone to guess who Jesus is or what Jesus is on about. He immediately confirms Jesus' identity. He says, this is my Son whom I love. And he pours out his Spirit rests on Jesus. And he sends him out, verse 12, immediately into the desert. You see, in our Bibles it says at once, but that's the same word, immediately. The Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus go into the desert? How long were the people of Israel in the desert for when they were wandering around after they'd been released from Egypt? 40 years. And so Jesus' 40 days in the desert mirrors that 40 years of so long ago that were so formative for the people of God entering into the promised land. And Jesus identifies himself as one of God's people, as the people of God, the Israel. And so what God is doing here is immediately confirming who Jesus is. Mark grabs our attention with these words. He says, immediately this happened, so that we can know exactly who Jesus is. There's no need to spend time guessing about Jesus' identity. There's no doubt who he is. See, sometimes people are confused. They feel confused about who they are and what they're here for. There was a story of a man who went into the dentist one time and he said to the dentist, I think I'm a moth. Can you help me? And the dentist said, well, you don't need me. You need a psychiatrist. And he said, yeah, I know. And the dentist said, so why did you come in here? He said, well, the light was on. Sometimes people are confused about their identity and who they are and what they're there for. But there's no confusion in this story, in this beginning of Mark, about who Jesus is. God clears up immediately for us who Jesus is and what he's on about and where he's going. So we know who Jesus is, what he's come to do. Let's look at him in action, verse 21. And we find where our next immediately word should be. In verse 21 it says, They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And there should be the word immediately in there. It should say, and immediately when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. See, Jesus goes straight to the place where the Bible is read every week. And he hears the word read and he speaks from it. He begins to teach the people. And he speaks in such a way, as they look at him, they go, where did this man get this learning from? This authority to speak the way he does. He speaks with an incredible authority. Jesus is immediately goes straight into action and teaches the people. Verse 23, what happens while he's there in the synagogue? Just then, or immediately, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Immediately, evil confronts Jesus. But Jesus is going to deal with evil in every form. He has authority over the evil spirits. And so in verse 25, Jesus said, be quiet, come out of him. And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. There's no mucking around there, is there? Jesus gets straight to the point. He speaks to the evil spirit and deals with evil. He shows us his authority, not just to teach, but his authority over evil. No mucking around, straight to the point. Now, the reaction of the people to this in verse 27 is amazement. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly throughout the whole region of Galilee. See, it's so extraordinary that this report goes out immediately around the region. And people everywhere become aware of Jesus' mission, of this man who's on a special mission from God. See, there's no punches pulled here, is it? It's happening, bang, bang, bang. Things are happening one after the other. It's an urgent mission. Jesus is going for it. Verse 29, look at what happens. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went home with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. The word immediately is in there as well. It says immediately leaving the synagogue, they went to the house of James and John. Jesus isn't sitting around having long theological discussions. He gets on with his mission. He goes to Simon's place and Simon's got a sick mother-in-law. And the disciples decide not to waste any time too. You see how they react in verse 30. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and they told Jesus about her. They missed out the word immediately because it says immediately they told Jesus about her. See, the disciples realize that Jesus is here. Why waste any time? Why procrastinate? Why leave it any longer? Let's see Jesus in action. And so they immediately tell Jesus about the mother-in-law, and he heals them. Now, some son-in-laws might think that was a bit of a silly thing to do for their mother-in-law, but the disciples know this is no time to be mucking around. Why waste time? Why procrastinate when Jesus is here and he's on a mission? See, we often procrastinate, don't we? When, like I said before, we have New Year's resolutions, and a lot of them we make a New Year's resolution and then we put it off, and we put it off so much that we never end up keeping it. I read a list yesterday of a bloke who wrote achievable New Year's resolutions, things that you might get to do this year. The first one was gain weight, at least 30 pounds. His second New Year's resolution was stop exercising. It's a waste of time. You'll probably get around to that one. The third one, watch more TV. The fourth one, get further in debt. That's probably an achievable New Year's resolution. Fifth one, stay off the International Space Station. Well, that's probably achievable too. And his last one was procrastinate more, starting tomorrow. But there's no time to procrastinate when Jesus is on the job. You see, Mark brings it to this is an urgent time, an immediate time to see Jesus on his mission. Jesus is not mucking around. He's not wasting time. He gets stuck into it straight away. And the disciples had caught on to this immediate nature of the mission of Jesus on earth. No time to waste. No mucking around. Get rid of all the distractions, all the obstacles, and let Jesus do what he's here to do. There's a few more immediately's in this passage. Well, there should be there. If you look in verse 41 and 42, Jesus is met by a man with leprosy who begs him to make him clean. Verse 41, he says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. No mucking around. Jesus speaks, the man is healed. Jesus shows his authority, not just his authority to teach, not just his authority over evil, but his authority over sickness and disease. And in verse 43, Jesus sent him away at once, or immediately, there's that word again, with the order. With a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Jesus says, get on with it. Don't waste any time. Don't muck about. Go and show yourself to the priests. You see, Jesus' mission was an immediate and urgent mission. He knew there was no time to waste. He knew there was no use wasting time mucking around. And if you read through this chapter and you're thinking, what is Jesus on about? These just appear to all be sort of random acts, don't they? We call them random acts of kindness. You know, he's just going around doing nice things for people. Is that what it's all about? Well, these acts of kindness are not random. They're all related to his overall purpose and his mission. And we've skipped the verses where Jesus tells us exactly what he is on about. So if you look back in verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, verse 14, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent, believe. That's not a long speech, is it? It's not a long flowery speech. It's just effectively saying, it's now is the time. I'm the king of God's kingdom. I'm here. Turn back, trust God, and trust me. Mark doesn't bother recording long, eloquent speeches because he wants us to get the idea that Jesus' mission is urgent and immediate. Straight to the point. This is who he is. This is what he's on about. Jesus is walking the straight path that God has set out for him. He's doing exactly what God has sent him to do, not veering to the right or to the left, going down the straight path. But we've also skipped over two other appearances of our special word for the day. And they're very important ones for us and for the people that Jesus dealt with. You see, Jesus, his identity and his mission were immediate and urgent. But he didn't just want people to sit back and admire him. He's not interested in people just to look from afar and say, oh, look, there goes Jesus. Isn't he doing a great job? No, Jesus is here to do God's work, but he calls people to get on board. He calls people to walk the straight path with him. So look in verses 16 to 18. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, when Jesus calls them, they listen and they obey. They follow him. Now, they're not just leaving behind a hobby here. If Jesus came down to me when I was fishing at the river and he said, stop fishing and come and follow me, I'd say gladly, I hate fishing. I don't like fishing. If it was Clary, it might be a different matter. Clary loves fishing. But for these guys, it wasn't just a hobby that they hated or they loved. This was their livelihood. This was everything to them. This is the way they stayed alive. And Jesus says, drop all that, come and follow me. And immediately, Mark says, immediately they leave behind everything to follow him. And in verse 20, we see another instance of this word. Verse 19, when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Jesus' call is immediate. Not just the response, you notice, but his call. It's urgent. Jesus calls them and says, follow me. There's no time to waste. Jesus calls straight away. And he wants you to follow him straight away. Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he was on about. He knew what he wanted from others. He knew how people would react to him. He knew that some would doubt. Some would oppose him to his face. But others would follow. And he calls people immediately to come to him. So there's no confusion in this chapter, is there? There's no mucking about. We know exactly who Jesus is and what he's on about. But in our society, in our community, there is a lot of confusion about what Jesus is on about. People will say, well, didn't Jesus come to bring peace to humanity? Isn't that why Jesus came? Isn't the central message of Christianity, love your neighbour and do unto others as you would have them do unto you? That's what people tell me. When we have baptism interviews or things with people who are sort of on the fringe of the church and they're not quite sure. Okay, isn't that the main thing in Christianity? Love your neighbour as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that the central message? There's a lot of confusion out there about who Jesus is and what he came to do. But Mark gives us a very clear message. Jesus is here to establish God's kingdom. He's the king. He shows his authority over evil, over sickness, over disease, over nature, over people. And people need to repent, turn their lives around and trust him. Follow him and leave everything behind. Jesus is God's king and he will establish God's kingdom. And we see it most clearly in his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead that brings us that great promise of new life. Jesus is God's king who has come to establish God's kingdom. This is an urgent and immediate mission. And it requires from us, just as from the disciples, it requires an urgent and immediate response. Jesus calls you today to turn to him, to follow him, to walk the straight path that God gave him. What direction will you be taking in 2012? Where will you be headed? There's no doubt about who Jesus is, what his mission is. He's shown us what his priorities are to establish God's kingdom. What are your priorities for this year? Now, you're going to have a busy year. We have a busy year every year, don't we? There's always lots of things to do, lots of things that come up unexpectedly, things that come up. And there'll be lots of things that will drag your attention away from Jesus. But what are your priorities in all of those things that you have to do, in all of those things that you achieve this year, in all of those things that you want to get done? What are your priorities? Are your priorities the same as Jesus' priorities? Have you prepared the way for Jesus to work in you? Have you removed all the obstacles out of the way so that Jesus can come into your life and work in you? Because sometimes we put lots of obstacles in the way, don't we? And we stop Jesus from working in us. Have you prepared the way for Jesus to work through you to reach others? Jesus is on a mission. It's immediate, it's urgent, and it's a mission to see God's kingdom established. Will you join the mission? It's an immediate challenge that requires an immediate response. Don't waste time. Don't muck about. Don't procrastinate more. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Today is the day to make your decision. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that through Mark that you've helped to clear up exactly who Jesus is and what he's on about. Father, we thank you that we can see clearly that Jesus is your King, sent to establish your kingdom. We thank you that we see it through his death and his resurrection, that he has come to deal with evil once for all and to rescue people to be yours forever. Father, I pray that you would help us to be on board with that mission, to realize the immediacy and the urgency of what you've sent Jesus to do. And Father, to follow him, to leave everything immediately and follow him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.